Thomas Jefferson said, when the people fear the government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty. Clearly, we've come to a state in America where people fear the government a lot more than the other way around. We aim to change that equation. We also want to inspire people to do something meaningful with Independence Day rather than sit on their butts, get fat, watching fireworks, and patting themselves on the back for what a great country this is when it's more like that it used to be. But we'd also want to inspire people to assert their self-ownership and that they are free, beautiful, independent human beings and that there are certain inalienable rights that go along with that.
ACDC, Back in Black, right here on First Degree Liberty. Welcome to another episode of Mike, and on today's show, Chase and I talk about Adam Kokesh. He's the liberty activist that's planning the peacefully armed march on Washington, D.C. on July 4th. He recently got arrested at an anti-marijuana prohibition rally in Philadelphia. Chase and I will be talking about that and a whole host of other issues related to the armed march. So keep it locked in right here. On First Degree Liberty, we're going to be having some great guests coming up soon. On deck, we've got Stephanie Murphy of Pork Therapy and Stefan Molyneux of Free Domain Radio. So keep it locked in right here. And if you've got any feedback for the show or you'd like to suggest some guests for future shows, please contact us at firstdegreeliberty@gmail.com. I'd like to give a shout out to Meg McLean for inspiring the name of today's episode. So sit back, relax, and prepare yourself for episode 24, Free Adam from the Man. Broadcasting from New York City. New York. And Asheville, North Carolina. It's First Degree Liberty with Chase Rachels and Mike Martelli.
It's like I picked the wrong week to quit amphetamines.
Okay, guys, so you may have recently seen around Facebook, certainly not in the news, that Adam Kokesh has been arrested. He was participating in an anti-marijuana prohibition event. And at this event, as soon as everyone did their whole culminating smoking, like they did a countdown, and at the end of the countdown, everyone, you know, started to, you know, they took a drag of their pot and, you know, they kind of said F you to the police standing around them to enter prohibition. They proceeded to drag Adam Kokesh amongst the crowd away. And from what I've seen, I'm not even sure if he smoked himself. I don't know. From what I've seen around Facebook, they arrested him on the grounds of resisting arrest, which doesn't make sense because to resist arrest, you must already be being arrested for something
exactly.
else.
Exactly. How could right? you be arrested for resisting an arrest that hasn't happened yet?
Yeah, precisely, right? And I think the big question here for, you know, all the conspiracy buffs or even just, you know, people who are skeptical of government, which should include all of our listeners, I would hope, is the fact that, well, this shit kind of happens all the time. Adam's done this 5 times in the past. No one's really been arrested like this. And this just happens to be happening right before the July 4th armed protest march on D.C., I think that even if they do detain him, which I don't think they are, I think he's being released on bail, but even if they did detain him, I would think this would be kind of productive to suppressing that kind of protest that's happening on Independence Day, the armed protest, that is, because they're just going to make a martyr out of him. And I think that's kind of what Adam's striking this at. He said, hey, look, if they arrest me, I become kind of a martyr in a sense. I mean, they're not killing me, but it's still going to kind of create some solidarity within our community. They're going to see that they're trying to suppress this before it even occurs.
Right.
And I think I'd like to take this podcast and go ahead and not really focus so much on Adam's arrest, but rather on the upcoming armed protest in D.C. on July 4th and kind of talk about whether or not it's a good idea. I know there's a lot of dissension within the libertarian community over that event. Some people think it's not practical and it's dangerous and it's not going to be achieving what it wants to do. And others feel exactly the opposite, that it's the kind of radical event that's needed to wake some people up and to show to the world the oppression that exists. So, yeah, I think that this would be something good for us to talk about.
Oh, yeah. I've been thinking about the armed march for a long time now, since Adam basically talked about it a couple of weeks ago. And I personally think it's a great idea. I think it's about time that, first of all, Adam's goal here is complete peace and order in this event. And he has gone through great lengths to talk about it on his Adam vs. the Man website, as well as his official Facebook page, that this is to be peaceful. The point of going in with loaded weapons is not to go and start a fight. It's to go and say, hey, wait a minute. Your laws are immoral. We're not going to hurt anybody. We're peaceful people. We should be allowed to carry armed. We should be armed. I mean, that's the whole point of the Second Amendment in the Constitution, which is supposed to be the supreme law of the land, that we have a right to bear arms.
Yeah, so, Mike. Oh, go ahead.
The whole point, it's civil disobedience. So the whole point here is breaking the law, which we all know is immoral. So that's the whole point of civil disobedience. I think a lot of people are missing that. And I've seen even a lot of libertarians comment about, oh, we should be respectful of the law. No, the point of this, you know, if you were, Rosa Parks back in the civil rights movement, and you thought it was immoral that there was segregation being forced upon the public by the government, then you take a stand against that by breaking the law to show people that this is an immoral law. That's the point. And this is what Adam is trying to do with this, is just to show that this law is absolutely immoral.
Yeah, and like you said, Mike, this is a peaceful protest. Even though they have loaded weapons on them and they're armed, it's still a peaceful protest, right? And in fact, I think a lot of the concern with this kind of thing and why it's gotten so much media attention is because, you know, because it's armed carrying weapons for this protest. But that's the point. We want the exposure. Not only do we want the exposure, but we want to get the message across that, hey, no matter what liberties you take, you're never going to take our right to bear arms, because that's the last defense that we have against tyranny. It's our last line of defense. And furthermore, I think they're going to try to spin it in a way that a bunch of armed, you know, right-wing zealots, or whatever, they're probably going to try to paint them as, is going to create a threat to the surrounding people, right? Which right. I feel like is total propaganda, because the opposite will be true. They're never, in fact, during the protest, when there's so many thousands of people armed who are peaceful, the people in D.C. will be much safer than once they leave.
Right. You know what I mean? Exactly. D.C. has one of the highest crime rates in the entire nation. Yeah. You know, this is what I find funny about it, is that, you know, here we got a bunch of people who are mostly former military and even a lot of former police that are going to be signing up to march here. You know, these are people who we're supposed to be glad that are protecting us, right? We give them the whole they protect our freedoms kind of crap. And here they are actually standing up for our freedom, and people are cowering in fear over this.
Well, here's the cognitive dissonance, Mike, is the fact that not only do we have this weird idea that it's okay for the government to possess weapons because, you know, they're the good guys, right? And then we have to have them protect us against the other nefarious civilians. Right. But they have to take it a step further now and say, okay, these guys used to be military and cops. You've already vetted them as being, you know, of the right mindset to carry a weapon to protect other people. And now you're going to try to say they're dangerous when they are retired or when their enlistment ran up, when they weren't fired for any behavioral reasons. They just kind of their enlistment ran out. So yeah. Now not only do they have to say there's differences in classes of people, but that same person who was okay to carry weapons before is now not, just because he's not being employed by the state, right?
Right. And just the fact that we are afraid of a bunch of peaceful armed protesters in America shows how far down the shithole this country has gone. You know, this is America. This is the land where a bunch of farmers with flintlock, you know, pistols and muskets fought off the greatest empire the world had ever seen to create a land of the free, and now a bunch of citizens with rifles are feared. I mean, the whole saying that Thomas Jefferson said, that when the people fear the government, there's tyranny, and when the government fears the people, there's freedom. And, you know, this is where we're at now. The government is afraid of this. I mean, we're afraid of the government, basically. We're afraid of, you know, them doing whatever they want. And look, they get away with whatever they want to do. So this is an attempt to reclaim and change the tide of the way things are going and say, no, we are sick and tired of your bullshit corruption. And we're going to send a message that you're not going to take the guns. That's our line in the sand. You will not do that.
And just so it's clear, I'm also for this protest, and in spite of the fact that it seems many are against it. And here's the thing. People are worried that it's too antagonistic, right? They're right. Worried about aggression breaking out. But the thing is, what I don't understand, Mike, is why are they pressuring the peaceful gun-toting people to relinquish their weapons and to change their course of behavior? If they're worried about aggression, which is a big possibility, why aren't we pressuring the cops not to be aggressive? You know, right, or right. The National Guard or whoever it is that gets sent out there. Because they're the ones who are demonstrably and empirically much more aggressive and dangerous with a loaded firearm than any sort of civilian is, you know, or especially this demographic of civilians here, the people who are supporting gun rights and such, you know. Go ahead.
That's a great example right there. We have to stop and look at this empirically, right? We have now a couple of incidents that have happened in this country in which the police – these militarized police have been much more of a threat and danger to the public safety than private citizens with guns. And the most recent one happened just a couple of days ago here in New York, where the police responded to a home invasion. And what happened is they ended up shooting up the place and killing one of the hostages. And before that, going back even like two or three weeks or a couple of weeks before that, we have the shootout in Boston that happened between the cops shooting an unarmed terrorist suspect and unleashing all kinds of weaponry without any regard to where the bullets were going at all. And, you know, anybody who's actually serious about guns and gun safety knows that you never, ever point a loaded weapon at a person, obviously unless you intend to kill that person. But here we have the militarized police unloading, you know, automatic weapons in the streets aimed at civilian targets, at houses. They didn't care where the bullets landed. They didn't stop to think about, well, if we miss our target, that bullet's going to keep on going until it could possibly injure somebody out there. They right. don't think about this, those things. You know, all these shootings, there was one in New York City last year where the cops tried to shoot one guy and ended up shooting 9 civilians. You
Holy
know,
shit.
It's insane. It's absolutely insane, but they don't care. Even about without the guns, anytime there's a police chase, that puts the public in danger, because what we have is you have 10 squad cars chasing after one guy, forcing him to go at high speeds to get away, and they're putting spike strips out. They don't care about the public safety whatsoever. You know, if they go after 100 miles an hour down the highway going the wrong way chasing the guy and they get into an accident, oh, well, that's just what happens. It doesn't matter if they kill anybody.
Oh, I totally agree, and that brings up a good point, which is to why I think they seem to be more aggressive or more trigger-happy is because of the moral hazard created by them being much more insulated legally with their liability from their actions with firearms than any civilian would ever be. You know, right. Any civilian would do the same thing a cop does, accidentally shooting someone or... You know, they're trying to chase someone off of their property and they shoot an innocent person in the course of doing so. They would be held liable for manslaughter. They go to prison. They wouldn't just be suspended without pay, you know,
right.
from their occupation. So I think what this protest is so brilliant about doing is it's going to show very clearly two classes of people, both armed, the one class of people armed is going to be the civilian people, the people who are actually held accountable for their actions. And right. because they're held accountable for their actions, and because they realize this, you're going to see them behave in a much different way than the opposing and more adversarial and contentious status agents, whether they be policemen or National Guard or ATF or whatever, whoever else is out there. And I think what's going to show the American people, and you're not going to see this in the mass news media because they're going to spin it all sorts of ways, but when you see the internet videos coming out, the raw footage, what you're going to see is a clear difference. Say, hey, look, when I'm talking about being anti-gun, what that really means in actuality is I want the government to take guns away from other people and hoard all the guns for themselves. So they're not wanting guns to be out of everyone's hands, just out of civilians' hands. Right. So I think what this protest is going to accomplish is to show, hey, look, if someone's guns are going to be had by someone, it's never going to be the case where all the guns are destroyed. Okay, so you got to choose. Do you want the peaceful deterring factors of the civilians to have these guns to help deter the tyranny that's going to come to us if we let them go? Or do you want the demonstrably more aggressive status agents to have a monopoly over them? And I think that might help to wake some people up. And not only that, but there's all these right-wing worshippers of the military and veterans and policemen, and I think they're also going to empathize with us a little bit more when they see that this protest is comprised of, like you said, a lot of veterans and former police people. And they're going to realize that, hey, look, there's something more important than what the government tells me to do or what's safe for me or protecting us from ourselves, and that's our liberty, and that's protecting us from the state itself. And I think that really something radical like this, a radical event like this, is what's necessary to really wake people out of their stupor, because it's not going to happen with some just, you know, people waving signs or, you know, speaking loudly on the radio. It's going to take some radical event like this, and I think it's brilliant. You know, I really do.
Oh yeah, and we have to look at it too. The state here is the complete aggressor. They have the option to just let it go peacefully and just stand back and let it happen, but they're not going to do that. They're going to get in, this is my fear, is the provocateur factor of this, that all it takes is one agent to go in there and start trouble and, you know, bring the whole thing into a state of chaos. And what I mean by that is, like, just say for example, there was a cop on the bridge waiting, you know, they plan on crossing the Memorial Bridge into Washington, D.C. from Virginia. If there is a cop on one of those sides that happens to be trigger happy, pulls the trigger and shoots, it could cause a whole load of problems. And as we mentioned, the cops don't have the same accountability. So they're going to be like, well, I was threatened. I shot, you know, and that's going to cause a world of chaos. That's my fear, is the state's reaction to this thing. I know yeah. that the marchers are going to be peaceful, but I know that the state has all the incentive to create some kind of incident out of it.
And yeah, that's why I commend these people, because I think they fully realize this potential. In fact, I think they realize if there is an incident or some sort of massacre or whatever, you know what? It's going to suck, and it's going to be fun against the protesters in some ways, but I think that on the flip side, a lot of people will see it for what it is, that right. it was the state instigating it, aggressing against it, causing it. So it's going to create a polarization. It's gonna force people to stop being apathetic and finally choose a side. Are you for the state and oppression and your fucking miserable security, or do you want some liberty? And,
right.
And do you want to be able to protect yourself? Right. So I don't know. I think there could be some sort of massacre or event that people get hurt. But you know what? I'm not gonna sit here and try to tell these guys, because of that, you're stupid for doing it.
Right.
Because you know what? I think it's incredibly noble. I think that they know the cost, they know the risk, and they look at the return as being worth it, not just for themselves, but for their posterity.
Right.
So
and if it
discourages that at all.
If it goes well, if it ends up being as peaceful as everybody hopes it is, and they're able to march around and complete their loop through D.C. and come back to Virginia, then it's going to be a huge step, a very big and powerful message, you know, to the state that says, we're just not going to take it anymore. We're going
yes.
to be peaceful and respectful up until the point where you instigate something. And
yeah, you know, I'm really, I'm thinking about actually going myself. I don't know if I told you that or not, but,
No, you didn't, but, Unfortunately, I'm stuck in a bad position where I'm not armed because I live in New York City. And also, 4th of July happens to be on a random weekday. I think it's like a Thursday or something this year. Yeah. And I just started a new job, so I can't take time off.
Yeah.
So I'm in a bad spot, but...
That's cool. That's cool. I mean, I might not go, but I'd like to. And my friend Mark here might want to go with me. And we're both veterans, too, so...
Yeah.
I was thinking if I went, maybe, like, wear my uniform or something. Not because I want to, you know, garner brownie points, but just because it would make it that much more politically unpopular to aggress against me, you know?
You know, I always thought about this is, what about the symbology of this, right? Suppose Adam and his protesters, instead of, you know, wearing normal street clothes and modern rifles, what if they put on, you know, the sort of Revolutionary War costumes with the tri-corner hats and the, you know, the jackets and carried muskets in? I mean, I think the imagery of that would be really powerful, right? Because, first of all, they'd be loaded muskets, which wouldn't stand a chance against modern, you know, the police and their modern body armor and their modern weaponry. So you're kind of sending the message that, yeah, we want to be armed. But, I mean, if the police were to do something, it would be so overwhelming. Like, people would see that the force that the cops use would be so outrageous. You know, because they're matched up against weaponry that is so far out of date, you know, that the response would be ridiculous. And I think that would be like, whoa, look at these cops. They're using machine guns to mow down people with muskets, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I mean, that's an idea. I mean, I prefer the way it is now.
Right, right.
I mean, shit, you know what? I mean, here's another reason why. If there are thousands of us armed out there, I think that's going to be a deterrent from these police guys to fuck with us, too.
That's a good point, too.
Because, look, they're willing to aggress against peaceful people for a paycheck, but once they realize that their own life might be on the line, maybe they'll think twice.
Right, let's look at,
you know.
I hate to say this, you know, but I think it needs to be said. Cops are a bunch of fucking pussies. You know, they'll come out with their Ninja Turtle body armor, and they'll go and mow down a couple of peaceful protesters. They'll pepper spray the shit out of some, you know, hot blonde chick because she's carrying a sign, you know. But when it comes down to facing an actual, even one armed guy, like let's say that Chris Dorner guy in California, right? They're a bunch of pussies. They wouldn't go in and breach the house. They ended up setting the house on fire. You know, they wouldn't go in and put their actual life on the line for that.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good point is when if you're facing, even if it's only 1,000 people that show up, but 1,000 people that were former military, that were combat veterans, that were, you know, former police, who know how to use their weapons and have been in combat situations, who are not going to freak out when the first, you know, gunshot gets fired. That's a deterrent, you know, you're going to be sitting there, you may have the Ninja Turtle outfit, but you may be like, oh shit, you know, okay, maybe I should just, you know, cool it.
Yeah. And if I go, I'll be bringing my hunting rifle if I go, I guess. I don't think I'm going to load it, though.
Yeah.
You know, but just in case. But, yeah, I'd still like to go and show my support.
Well, here's the thing, too. Remember from Adam vs. the Man on his website, it's very specific about this. You keep the weapons armed, but not... You're not to have a loaded round in the chamber, but you're to have them slung across your back, barrel facing down. You know, that is a very non-aggressive posture. You know, with the barrels facing the ground and sort of safeties on, that kind of deal. So I think that's another message they're trying to send is yes, we're armed, but we're being responsible about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, they also don't want to give the cops a reason to take a shot, you know, because the cops will take a shot for anything.
The only thing I'm kind of worried about is, like, them taking my gun. I mean, I just bought that thing.
Take a cheap gun with you, then.
I'll have a cheap gun. Maybe I'll borrow one from Justin. We'll see.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this, and this is something I have to do eventually, is change my... permanent address to an upstate address, mm-hmm. So that way I can actually purchase a firearm. Because now, right. even if I go outside of New York City to buy one, they won't sell one to me because I have a New York City address.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, I've tried.
Holy shit.
You're not even allowed to have BB guns that look like those, you know, the air rifles or air guns.
Yeah, you're allowed to have those. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. And being in New York City is a real tough spot to be a liberty-minded person to begin with.
Thanks for listening to First Degree Liberty. The show may be over, but let's continue to rock. Off the album The Scarecrow, here's Avantasia with their song Lost in Space.
Another star has fallen without sound. Another spark has burned out in the cold. Another door to the barren standing open. And who is there to tell me not to give and not to go? How could I know? How could I know that I'll get lost in space to roam forever? Down the doorway to the Badlands, kicking down all your hurdles to the black, and all the damage fading in the rearview mirror. When the demons are gone, could I know? How could I?